This morning I want us to look in Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 8 through 20. We're going to read much more than we're going to focus upon, but for context, I want us to see this entire passage. Luke chapter 2, verse 8. In the same region, there were some shepherds, staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all of the people. For today in the city of David there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, there appeared with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among men with whom God favors." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry, and they found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all of those who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all of these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. A beautiful passage. I want us to focus this morning on a very small portion of this passage, though. I hope it struck you as I read through it, and then much did, so maybe other things struck you, but there in verse 19, as Mary listened to the words spoken about this child, and truly it being her child, there was a connection there. But I hope this morning that we will see, no, you did not have to be Mary, the mother, in this situation, to have the same response that she did. Hopefully we, of all people this morning, can understand that this news about Jesus wasn't something just to be treasured as a mother of the Son, but for us to treasure as His descendants, as those who are in Christ Jesus. Verse 19, "But Mary treasured all of these things, pondering them in her heart." I'm going to examine just these two things and then look at a few things within the rest of the passage as well that may help us to ponder and treasure upon the things of Christ. To treasure. We've seen enough in the scriptures themselves that speak of passages such as where your treasure is, there's your heart. We think of treasure very often as a noun, as a thing. We you know, think perhaps, you know, you're in your mind and oh, I don't see Noah back there with his shirt. And it's making me think of a big pirate's chest and, you know, the pirate's booty there, and you open it up and it's just filled with gold, that sort of treasure to be found there. We all know it may not be riches. We may have something much smaller to treasure. It seems of late, the last couple of months, and from all the way the signs are pointing, perhaps the next few months, we've had many deaths among our families and those whom we love and we know. Sometimes when others are passing or have passed, and some of the things from the household is being given to relatives and stuff, things can be given, or somebody can say, "Hey, you know what, is there anything you want from the house?" And you take something that you say, "Oh, that meant so much to me. That brings back so many memories." And you can treasure something that seemingly can be worthless somebody else. Visited Jamie's grandmother up in Camden Point this week, and she came to Lydia. She knows every time we go to Lydia's house, or every time we go to her house, Lydia loves looking at some of the knickknacks on the glass shelves and glass and porcelain figurines. And Jamie, I just cringe every time she goes up to start pulling down, thinking she's going to break something. Well, her grandmother brought a set of those, just little kitty cats or dogs or, you know, bunnies or something, just little porcelain things, and said, I want you to have these things. I hope she'll treasure those things and the memory. We still think of it as what is the treasure itself. And we very often fail to realize there's an activity to this as well. Like I said, these things can be worthless to others. Some people have money that's meaningless to them. Some people see our things and they're like, why would you value that? Because it has to do with what we ourselves treasure verbally. What do we treasure? To treasure something is to guard it so that you do not lose it, for it gives you joy, peace, and satisfaction, and so you treasure it. You are active with it. Mary did not want to let her mind wander so that this joyful meditation would slip. She treasured the words that were spoken to her. Many other heard them. Some in our passage were wondering about them. Our passage doesn't say, but I can only imagine there were other people there that heard them and were like, okay, what do I have to do next? I don't know, but we know the gospel clearly has gone forth that way. And some hear it and treasure it, and others hear it and are angered by it. Others hear it and just ambivalent to it. Mary heard these things, and she did not want her mind to wander away from the joys that she had just heard. We too should recognize that the gospel is something to treasure. And I pray as you hear of Christ, I pray as you hear of salvation, I pray as you hear of His purity, His love, His joy, and all of the things that we see here described for us in the Scriptures, that we would say, this is something for me to guard. I don't want this to slip away. I don't want my mind to have them around the house but just collecting dust. I don't want them to be forgotten someday, and someday I wake up and think, what was it that gave me joy? Treasure the joy of the gospel. We have so much to treasure. Colossians chapter 2. Go ahead and turn there, keep your place in Luke. Colossians chapter 2. We're going to look at Colossians and then Ephesians. Beginning in verse 1, I believe. Paul says this: For I want you to know how great of a struggle I had on your behalf, for those who are at Laodicea, and for all those whom I have not personally seen, have not personally seen my face, that I want you to know this struggle. Verse 2. My struggle that their hearts would be encouraged, having been knit together in love, and having attained to all of the wealth that comes from the full assurance of understanding, resulting in this, a true knowledge of God's mystery, which is what? Christ Himself, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Sometimes, as I mentioned, we have relics in our families. We have personal things that we treasure, and they remind us of things. And it's because, humanly speaking, we have loss. We experience something in our lives, and maybe it's just a picture that helps us remember that, but it's in the past. We're not there any longer. We're not in that situation anymore. Sometimes it's people we love, and we lose them, and so something such as porcelain cats and dogs about this tall means something to us. Sometimes people carry that over into their faith, and they have trinkets that become real to them, and the essence becomes lost. Paul says here in Colossians, I want you to understand what is the greatness and the fullness of all understanding, resulting in a knowledge of everything mysterious throughout the Scriptures, is that you would know Christ Himself. Don't turn away. Don't turn away to trinkets. Don't turn away to memories. Don't turn away to other things than Christ. May you have the most essential knowledge of Him in your life. I'm not saying don't use teaching things. I'm not saying not to use other things, you know, in your lives to try and teach others or be reminded yourself, but let it push you to Christ, not substitute the place of Christ Himself. Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 6, Paul is praying that we would understand this glorious truth. He says in verse 6, specifically, that you would know that the Gentiles are now fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise. Just stop there for a second. Wow. Let me go all the way back to what Stan was teaching on a few months ago, to the very early pages of Genesis and the promise being given there. The promise that travels from that point all throughout the Scriptures, all throughout God's redemptive history, and will continue to do so until the earth stops groaning and moaning in anticipation of the revelation of the sons of God. The promise of the Messiah and His people. Something to which in the Old Testament the Gentiles had no part in. And now it says, now, through the gospel, through Christ Jesus, through this good news, I want you to understand this, that we, Gentiles, are made fellow partakers of the promise. Not just that we get to sit back and hear about it and be joyful that others have the promise. We are partakers in this promise. The promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, verse 7, of which I was made a minister, according to the gift of God's grace which was given to me, according to the working of His power. Verse 8, to me, the very least of all saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ. What a treasure we have. Do we treasure it? Do we treasure it? Treasure these things. Mary treasured these things that were spoken to her. It goes on to say that she was pondering them in her heart. You love that description? Pondering them in her heart. What do these things mean? The birth of Jesus means so much more than Black Fridays, Cyber Mondays, family gatherings, beautiful lights, and merry songs. What does the birth of Jesus, the Son of God, mean? Have you pondered that lately? If we stop pondering, it will be easy to lose our treasure. If we stop pondering, it will be easy to lose our treasure. The flip side of that's true as well. If we're not treasuring these things, we'll rarely ponder them. They work together. It will be easy to lose our treasure, not to lose our salvation, but it will be easy to lose the joy of our salvation. Sometimes that statement's enough to bring a tear to our eye. Do I have the joy of my salvation? I love the connection in this passage with reason and emotion. Reason and emotion. Those two things are part of our spiritual lives. Those two things belong together. We don't check reason at the door, and at the same time, we're not just doctrinal people that, okay, I'm not going to get emotional and mushy-gushy. Reason and emotion going together. Is that not what she was doing? Treasuring these things in her heart, pondering their meaning. Treasure these things. Ponder them in our hearts. Use your intellect, your memory, and your emotions as part of your life in Christ. Now again, we have different personalities here. I don't mean that every one of us needs to get to the point where anytime we start to pray, we start breaking down in tears. I'm like, oh, that's them praying again. I have no problem if you do break down in tears every time you pray. It's a beautiful thing. Some of us may never show that sort of aspect in our lives, but we have emotions nonetheless. You have them and you feel them in your own heart. Sometimes it's that emotion of security that is so hard to show other people, that you feel so secure in Christ when you ponder the things of the gospel. Sometimes that looks like absolutely nothing on your face, and that's okay. Ponder these things. Let your reason and your emotion and your memory all be part of your devotion and worship and meditations in Christ. As I mentioned earlier, ponder in your heart, how do these things affect me? How does this affect my plans and my purposes? Isn't that part of what it means to have Jesus as our Lord? To think, okay, if He's the Lord, I should be obedient to Him, but I should be seeking as His servant His glory, His place in this world. So, two verses I want us to look at and think of these things, treasuring and pondering on these things. Verse 11 in Luke chapter 2. We could do this with the entirety of the passage that we read, but just two verses I want us to take us through this morning. Verse 11. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Treasure these things. There has been born for you a Savior, Christ the Lord. Did anyone deserve that? Was anyone worthy of Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, to be born, to be persecuted, to be rejected, to be scorned, and to be crucified for their forgiveness? The answer is no. But the more you treasure that truth in your mind, that there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Oh, how many miles that will take you in the Christian faith to treasure such a thing. Just the simplest thing. Jesus the Lord, born for you. No one deserved it. You did not deserve it. There has been for you a Savior born, who is Christ the Lord, a Savior to deliver you from your sins. Matthew chapter 1. She will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Just meditate upon that. Just treasure that in your heart. He will save. Think of that. He will save. Not that he will make it possible. Not that he'll go out and give everybody a second chance. He will save. He will deliver. He didn't just come to the pit. He didn't just come and look down and toss a rope and say, okay, I've done my part. It's up to you now. He rescued his people. He will save his people. Treasure that in your heart. Who are those who can be called his people? Are they marked with certain paint sign on their back? Tattoo? Hairstyle? Bearded? Goateed? Be equal to all facial hair here this morning. Those who believe. Simply believe. Have you seen somebody who is just at perhaps the newest point of their spiritual life, who's just been saved, they know nothing about the doctrines that you know about. They know nothing about the beauty of the Scriptures from front to back that we still study to this day and we still pursue. They know nothing about all of the joys that are before them in the Christian life. They know nothing about how precious Jesus will be to them in the time of need. And yet, even you see their life and their faith, just how they simply cling to Christ and think, wow, they are one of His people. He is their God, and they are a child of God. What a beautiful thing. You think back into your life. Treasure that Jesus has saved you as His people. And think, I was His. Going through the most difficult times of my life, I was His going through the most joyful times. Think back in the memory of your hearts, whether you're married, whether you're single, whether you're young or older, wherever you may be, think back in your life, if you're a believer, and think back, oh, He was protecting me. He was God. He cared for me. And friends, treasure that in your heart this day. He will save His people from their sin. Now meditate upon this. Ponder it and treasure it in your heart. Jesus will save His people from their sins. Is there anything you need rescue from deeper than that? He will save me from my sins. So easy to go through this world. And we cry out to the Lord, and rightfully so. And it's a beautiful and it's a righteous thing. Lord, keep me safe as I travel down the highway. Lord, save me from this illness, this disease. I've heard things in the news. I've seen the things going on. I've heard of all these sorts of things. Lord, save me from those things. And you look back and you realize, He has done so. But ultimately, He has saved you from yourself. Treasure those things. Ponder this in your heart. A Savior has been born for you, Christ the Lord. Why would God give His Son for me? Why would God give His Son for me? When you consider how little you thought of Him, when you consider your own weaknesses, your failure, your unrighteousness, why would He give Himself for me? There is only one conclusion that you can come to. Because He loves me. Ponder that. Ponder it and treasure it. And realize you are totally indebted to Him. There is nothing that we can do to make up for our sins. And then as you ponder it, think again, what is He calling me to do with my life that He has redeemed? How much have you thought of that of late? Verse 10. But the angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all of the people." When you wonder what Christ would have you to do as one saved by His grace, saved by His blood, given life by His Spirit, raised up by His power, united with His resurrection, what is it that He would have you do? Verse 10 reveals something quite interesting. The angel of the Lord said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Recognize this morning, God wants you to have joy. In truth, in genuineness. I'm not saying this in some health and wealth prosperity type, try and make everybody feel happy and warm and fuzzy this morning and just go on whatever you're doing. He wants you to win all of the sports games that you root for. He wants you to get the raise. He wants you to have the big bonus. Not those sorts of things. I honestly can't tell you what you walk out and face later this day or this week. I can't tell you everything's going to go the way you would like it to go. And then I can tell you God's will for you as His child is to have not just joy, great joy. And you receive, you understand, you have this joy when you understand what is the good news. Dear believer in Christ, hear this and treasure it. And say this to yourself if you have to. I am to have the good news, and I am to have great joy. Ponder and treasure that in your heart. Spurgeon says this, as we think today of the birth of the Savior, let us aspire after a fresh birth of the Savior in our hearts. That as He has already formed in us the hope of glory, we may be renewed in the spirit of our minds. That we may go again to the Bethlehem of our spiritual nativity and do our first works, enjoy our first loves, and feast with Jesus as we did in the holy, happy, heavenly days of our espousals when we first came to Christ. Let me read that again. That we may go again to the Bethlehem of our spiritual nativity and do our first works, enjoy our first loves, and feast with Jesus as we did in the holy, happy, heavenly days of our espousals. He goes on, let us go to Jesus with something of that youthful freshness and that excessive delight which was so manifest in us when we first looked to Him. Let us be crowned anew with joy and let us crown Him anew. For He is still adorned with the dew of His youth, and He remains the same yesterday and today and forever. In other words, my friends, go to Christ Jesus this day. And perhaps as you go to Christ Jesus, it reminds you more of the first days of your salvation than the latter ones. That's okay. Perhaps you need to approach Him as you first did when you couldn't even believe that He had saved you. Perhaps you think, oh, I was immature then. I know so much more now. You knew Christ then? Well, you know Christ now. Ponder this in your heart. Is there anything that this good news would lead to other than praise? That may be one area you say, you know what, I didn't realize then just how much I should realize now that I should praise Him. Embrace that. And praise Him all the more. And praise Him louder. And praise Him with the joy of your heart, with the words that you speak. Verses 13 and 14. Suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom He is well pleased. Why did that happen? Why all of a sudden just a host of heavenly myriads were there to sing His praises? I don't know. I'm not sure. I'll take a few throws of the dart here this morning. If I land upon some bullseye that you think sinks, oh, that's close enough for me, then do so. If you think of other great thoughts, sit with it as well. Because we are united with Jesus in the heavenly places in Christ, there is a connection. There are moments, and if I sound a bit too charismatic for you here this morning, forgive me. There are moments of heavenly worship that you and I should experience on this earth. I can't tell you exactly what it's like, and I rest with the Scriptures on that because it happened in different ways. I don't know how it will happen in your lives too, but there may be times when you're singing and there is just the heavenly chorus of angels with you. There may be times in which you're gazing upon Jesus in the Scriptures and you have sight of Him in the heavenly places that you can't explain to anybody else. It does say that we are seated with Him in the heavenly places in Christ right now. There are spiritual realities that go beyond the things that we see in our day-to-day lives, and they are there. And as we see here, this simple yet beautiful and humble picture of a child in the manger. And the people looking on there see Him, and I love this morning that we've had some babies chattering a bit and crying a bit throughout the service. It's such a wonderful thing to hear the little sounds and to hear them in their need and to hear that we just sit there and we think, oh, that's cute. And I don't know what people were standing around looking at Jesus, the Son of God in the manger, whether they're thinking He's cute or whether they're thinking, why will nobody in the end let us in? Whatever the thoughts were, but oh, when they heard the good news that this child was to bring, the heavens opened up in glory. Maybe we're just here this morning. We're in a little humble room. We've got a piano. We've got a hymnal. We've got some songs. We've got some voices. And maybe others, or maybe we ourselves would look around and say, what's unique about that? Treasure the things of Christ and ponder them. And if we so do that as we gather together in corporate worship, in the times in which the Lord has given us to gather together to fellowship, to commune, and to exalt the name of Jesus Christ Himself, then perhaps we here will share with the heavenly hosts, praising God in perfect, eternal, divine bliss. May we treasure and ponder these things in our hearts. May you let your soul lose itself in wonder. For holy wonder will lead you to grateful worship and be astonished at what God has done for you, of what God has done for each one of us. And that you will pour out your soul with praise at the foot of the golden throne of the mercy seat this day. May God be praised. Let's pray.